I'm just curious, how many ELO fans are there? That was my favorite group growing up, man. I love them, hands down my favorite. So. You know, I loved the complexity of their music. Their lyrics over and over just spoke to my heart. And the fact is, their music spoke to a wide range of emotions. Yeah. And it's interesting because even their songs, the ones that dealt with hurt or loss or pain like this, there's an underlying kind of thread, I would say, or a beat of hope and optimism in their music. You know, we live in this high-pressure, fast-paced society, and the number one struggle in our society today is a thing called anxiety. I mean, and anxiety, it can interfere with your job performance, schoolwork, relationships. The fact is, it can kind of put you in a funk. And if you're not careful, it can turn you to stone. You know, we're in this series, Beat, and we've been looking at some of the songs that David wrote. And these beats are divinely inspired. You know, they're there to help us, to guide us, to encourage us. And these beats, the lyrics, when you read them, when you spend time with the Psalms, they speak to your heart and soul. The beat we're going to look at today comes from Psalms 139. It's a long psalm, and so we're not going to cover it all this morning. I would encourage you to read the entire psalm this week. Maybe start your morning out reading the psalm and kind of use it as your devotion through the week. See what speaks to you, what you pick up on. You know, but we're going to pick up verse 17 of this chapter. David writes, he says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." David says that, and then the very next beat, he's going to shift gears on us. He goes, "Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme in you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies." That's pretty loaded there, isn't it? A lot of passion on his part. David, he shifts gears here, and he's looking at the external things. He's looking at the enemies, the problems, the issues that are bothering him. And these are the things that are overwhelming him. They're creating anxiety in him. He's turning this stuff and turning it over and over and over in his mind. Then David turns. Now, we've seen David do this before. He kind of vents, and then he turns in his life. He turns from the enemies that are surrounding him. He turns from focusing out there. He turns from the anger and the hatred and the disenfranchisement, the dissatisfaction in his life. He turns from those things that threaten to turn him into stone in his life. And David turns to the inner me. I believe that being able to look inside yourself may be one of the greatest life skills that you can ever learn. Because David, in this moment, is about to take responsibility for his anxiety. See, he's turning. He's turning. David's not blaming the anxiety on the economy. He's not blaming and turning it all back on Saul, who, incidentally, is trying to kill him. He doesn't put it on his family. David, he pivots in that moment. And he changes the beat. And he writes, he says, this in Psalms 139, 23. He says, search me, search me. Those two words, friends, can free you in your life. Search me. The drama that is out there that's happening around you does not have to be in here. You know, search me, O God, and know my heart. Do you see the shift here? Do you see the turning for David? David initially, he's fussing. He's aggravated at people. He's mad at his enemies. He's upset about what's happening around him. He's upset about the systemic corruption in the world. And he says, God, do something about this stuff. And then he turns. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. This is the beat we're going to focus on today. This beat is a beat for our age. And in fact, I believe this beat is one that can change your life. And here's the question. We're going to come at this from different ways. Why am I anxious? Why am I anxious? See, according to statistics, a great deal of people in our society are anxious. We are an anxious-ridden culture. We live with fear. Fear politically. Fear economically. Relationally. Our culture markets fear. There are so many things to be afraid of, isn't there? There's so many things that might happen. So many things I can't control. Have you figured out you can't control everything? There's so many things out there, and it creates anxiety. I might face a challenge. I might fail. I might get hurt. I might hear something I don't like. Imagine that. I might be forced to assess what I really believe in life. A little reality check here, okay? Bad things happen. They always have. Life is challenging. It usually is, isn't it? This world is broken. And it has been since the Garden of Eden. And as long as you focus out there, as long as you think that the world will change for you, you will be anxious. You will worry. You will fret. In fact, as long as your focus is out there, anxiety will overwhelm you. But it is not what's out there that makes you anxious. Do you hear that? It's not what's out there that makes you anxious. It's what you allow in here, and here. It's what you allow in your heart and mind. Yeah, there we go. The dyslexic in me. Heart, mind. It's what you allow in here undetected and unchecked. That word anxious thoughts, in the Hebrew, if you were to do a literal translation, it's disquieting thoughts. It's the idea of turning thoughts over and over and over and over in your mind. The fact is, what's the issue here? Well, it's the way you're thinking about things. It's the attitude. It's your outlook on things. David didn't know about neural pathways. But when you read the very next verse, as I was reading that, I thought, David intuitively, maybe divinely, totally knew about that. He says, point out anything in me that offends you and leads me along the path of everlasting life. Friends, when you think about something long enough, that thing that's got you amped up, it creates kind of an I-270 in your mind during traffic. You know, it allows the enemy to create traffic up here, to create so much commotion in your mind that there is no peace, there is no quiet, and pretty soon what happens because of all this stuff going on, we begin to fear, we begin to worry, we begin to have anxious thoughts. And today what I want to do is help us out of that blue. You know, by answering that question, why am I anxious? And today I want us to get past trying to answer this question for someone else. I know how this goes. Oh yeah, so-and-so needs to hear this and so-and-so needs to. No. We got to get past that. You know, we got to get past pointing to the things that are happening around us that are outside your control. And my hope and prayer is that you can get to the point that you realize not only is God watching over your life, but that you realize God is watching over you. And God wants to protect you. You know, 24/7, he's surveilling what's happening in your life and trying to work every situation. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and get prepared because I'm going to have you say a couple things. All right? You're going to say this to him. You better be nice to me. God is watching over me. And God likes me. Some of your neighbors are in the floor now. Friends, why are we anxious if God's watching over us? Why are you anxious if God promises to meet all your needs? Now, let me say something up front. I am not addressing medical issues, and I'm not addressing chemical imbalances, all right? But I'm suggesting to us today that there may be some ways, some thoughts that are leaving you vulnerable in your life and that are keeping you anxious in your life. The Apostle Paul, he writes this, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." I do not believe when Paul wrote those words that Paul was saying, don't ever be anxious. I believe that Paul wasn't trying to say you're never going to feel that way, because we will from time to time. But I believe he is suggesting that you cannot stay there and live that way. See, there'll be moments when anxiety hits you. You'll be anxious. There'll be seasons even. But living with a pervasive sense of anxiety that keeps you from enjoying life, even when things are going good, because you're afraid the good's going to stop, there's something wrong with that. You know, watching, waiting, worrying that things may turn, they're going to go a different way, is no way to live. David says, "Search me, God." Hear the beat again? "Search me, God. And know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts." Why are you anxious? Well, the first thing I want to suggest is that we need to check our intake in life. When you're anxious, whatever that thing is, what are you filling your mind and heart with? See, anxiety and fat have something in common. You cannot pray either one of them away without addressing your intake. Now, I don't know about you, and I've talked about this before, but my phone has that cool feature. You push the side of it, the button, and then you swipe, and it turns off. How cool is that? Seriously, some of you, one of the best things you could do for your life is turn this thing off. You cannot take in everything that's in this. You cannot take everything in moment after moment after moment and still have room for the peace of God. I mean, some of you, a phone buzzes. I've watched it in here on a Sunday morning. Somebody's phone buzzes, 20 people are going. I mean, some of you walk around, you're not even present. Not in real life moments, because this has your attention. You're anxiously awaiting the next text, the next notification, the next news feed. What'd they say? What'd they say? Where are they on vacation? What are they eating? What are they doing? You know, what's happening? Where'd that happen at? Friends, we are not designed to live that way. I mean, of course we're freaking out. Of course we're zombies. Of course we're numbing ourselves by drinking and smoking and popping pills and what have you. Friends, the devil has a shock collar on you. And it's in your pocketbook. It's by your side 24/7. This thing, it's turning some of you to stone and you don't even have a clue. Just a minute. We come to church hour and 15 minutes a week. You want me to inspire you, encourage you. But the average American, and you guys look pretty average, spend 50 to 70 hours behind screens, computers, TVs, this. Think about that. 50 to 70 hours. Granted, some of it is positive. I'll give you that. Most of it's benign. And a lot of it's, well, it's dangerous, it's destructive. A lot of the stuff, it's empty. It's empty. I worry about some of you. You're taking in lots of empty stuff. This stuff is designed to hardwire how you think in your life. You want peace, but you have no peace. Because there's no place for peace because of all the traffic that's going up here. I heard it growing up, garbage in, garbage out. Be careful what you're taking in. Friends, you have to understand this. You have to understand what causes you to be negative and hopeless. You have to understand what produces fear in you and worry. You know, what creates those anxious thoughts? What is your intake in life? And let me say something to parents while we're at it. Are you protecting your children? I know, sure. Hey, I put a helmet on them when they're riding their bike, and I don't let them go outside by themselves, and I walk them to the school bus and wait for the bus to pick them up, and then I follow the school bus and make sure they get off the school bus. I manage their diets. Organic, whole grain, no MSG, no steroids, and I could go all day on that one. But too many parents fail to protect their children and monitor the screens. And they are on those things 30 and 40 hours. Think about that. And I know as I say that, some of the parents are going, yeah, but it's a different day. You're right, it's a different day. But get this, the job of a parent, it's the same today as it's always been. Teach, train, protect, period. Are you monitoring your children's intake? Search me, God. Search me. Is there anything I'm doing or not doing? Is there anything that has taken me down the wrong path or my children down the wrong path? Sometimes it's not just what you take in. That's the fatal thing. It's what you're not taking in. I mean, some of you are starving spiritually. You're starving your children spiritually. And you're clueless on this one. Do you understand your faith? You have to feed your faith. Otherwise, your strength will wither. Without faith, guess what? You lose hope. It will fade. Search me, oh God. I mean, for some, it's relationships. The reality is there are relationships that are hurting you, draining you, destroying your faith. I mean, some of the people you spend time with, they're so negative, ungodly, feeding you garbage. Here, more. And I know maybe you go, well, I can't avoid them. I work with them, you know. I go to school with them. Well, in that case, you need to protect yourself. SPF 75 or something like that. Spiritual protection factor. See, if you don't protect yourself, you will get burned. You will begin to mimic what you take in. You'll begin to mimic the people you hang with. The only way you boost the FPF is you spend more time in God's Word. You spend time praying. You surround yourself with godly people. You monitor the intake. If you ever wonder why you're weak in battle, take a look at your intake. That's usually the culprit. Your intake levels need to be monitored. Enough said. Check for imbalance in your life. And I'm not talking about chemical imbalance here. That is beyond my focus. But I'm talking about what when you do not have a sense of what is important in your life, when you don't have a sense of your priorities and everything is urgent, it is a sign you don't know what's important. I mean, what happens is you're open to every demand that comes along. And pretty soon, unequal things take up equal space and equal time in your life. You got to break that. See, by saying yes to everything, going, yes, things that don't matter, yes, you end up saying no to the people and things that do matter. You end up exhausting yourself. You end up running after stuff that really doesn't matter, and pretty soon there's nothing left of you, and the things and the people that God has entrusted to you end up being sold short. You know, it's easy to take and give too much weight to the wrong things. Everything's not equally weighted. And so you give too much weight to things that are wrong and not enough weight to the things that are right. And when you do that, well, guess what? Your anxiety will go up. You will worry. You will be nervous about it, about a bunch of stuff that just doesn't matter. You know, for instance, somebody doesn't like you. Oh, they don't like me. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Just that simple. It depends on who they are. It depends on what kind of relationship you have. You know, a while back, I was talking to a guy who, he loves this church. And this church has changed his life, and Jesus Christ has made a big difference in him. Anyway, he's talking to me, and he said he was with someone, and they were kind of pot-shotting Faith Fellowship. And he's telling me about it, and man, I mean, he's getting worked up, really worked up. And he's like, yeah, they said this and this and this, and I can't believe. And he goes, it made me so mad. And so he finishes, and he looks at me, and he goes, aren't you mad? I said, no. He goes, why aren't you mad? I said, because I know what God's doing through Faith Fellowship. It doesn't matter. What he thinks doesn't matter. Friends, that thing that gets you worked up, that thing you worry and fret and you have all those anxious thoughts about, most of the time it does not matter. And that's true about 99% of the time. Jesus Christ is a solid rock. And if you stand on that rock and you stand strong, fully planted on it, you're okay. But when you don't, you will get pushed around. You will live unsettled. You will live with a lot of anxiety. If you are not clear about what really matters in life, you will get sidetracked with that stuff. I mean, let me simplify this for you. What doesn't matter? What everybody thinks. What does matter is what God knows and what God thinks. I mean, listen to the beat again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Some of you, your life would significantly improve if you realize that thing you're anxious about doesn't matter. What matters? What matters is you keep your faith. What matters is that you maintain a grateful attitude in your life. What matters is that you do not allow whatever the situation is in your life to contaminate your spirit and steal your future. That's what matters. Not that. That's what matters. Friends, if you do not get that straight, you will live in a prison in your life. And what happens when you get in that prison, you become very indecisive. You become insecure. And it will leave you anxious and overwhelmed. Some of you are anxious making decisions. And I would just say to you, go home and make decisions. Now, just thinking about that, some of you just turned to stone, didn't you? What? I gotta make a decision? Yeah. Sit down and make some decisions. Drink 3 cups of coffee if it needed so you have the energy to do that, but do it. You take the best info that you have, you make sure that it's God-honoring, you pray about it, and then you pull the trigger and you make a decision. You've been dating that girl for 7 years, and you can't decide if she's the one. If she's not, cut her loose. Do it, don't do it. Make a decision. Buy the car, don't buy the car. Sell the house, don't sell the house. Change jobs, don't change jobs. You know, move to Nashville. Don't move to Nashville. And some of you are freaking out right now, right? Friends, when I feel unsettled in my life, and it happens, I start by making decisions. You know why? Because it moves me forward. You know, some of you just need to go home and make 3 decisions this week. You go, well, what if it's wrong? Make a decision. Just move on. You can keep putting it off. I know how this goes. You're putting it off. You're not praying about it. You're not seeking God. You just put it off until it comes around again. And I don't know about you. I can't speak to your situation. But any time I start putting off a decision, the answer is usually really easy. It starts with N and ends in O. And when I say no, finally, guess what happens? The anxiety diminishes. In fact, we're going to practice the word no. All right? So on three, y'all know with whatever intensity you need to. One, two, three.
No.
What is it?
No.
Some of you, that simple word could change things for you. Now, that word only works if you're living with integrity and trying to be God-honoring in your life. All right? So let me be clear on that. You don't just say no to say no. But if you're living with integrity and allowing what you're doing to be God-honoring, then you go there. Sometimes anxiety is the result of compromise. Compromise in our integrity. In other words, it is hard to have peace in your life if you're hiding, if you're keeping secrets. It's hard to have peace if you're worried that your spouse might see your texts. It's hard to have peace in your life if you have dual Snapchats. You know, one that's a decoy for your parents and the other one's the one you really use. It's hard to have peace when you are being deceitful and dishonest. You may want peace. You may pray and ask God for peace. But friends, I will tell you, you will not experience peace when your life is in pieces. You won't. You know, the word integrity, it means whole. It comes from the word integer, whole number. You know, one person all the time, wherever I am, I'm the same person. I'm not four different people. Oh yeah, there's work me, and there's after work me, and there's Friday night me, and there's 10 a.m. on Sunday morning me. Friends, one person all the time. Does that make sense? You know, you can't walk in here on a Sunday morning and go, okay, this is who I am this morning. 10 a.m., take a look at me. It doesn't work that way. See, there needs to be congruency here. Need to be connected. They need to be the same. Otherwise, you'll be anxious with this. You know, does that make sense? You know, there needs to be consistency between who we are. We need to be God-honoring in all those situations. You can't have peace if you're going this direction, and this one, if you're trying to be various versions of yourself. Your very nature should be consistent, and it should be God-honoring. It should be. Absolutely. This bothers me as a pastor. You know, somebody should not find out you're a Christian and go, whoa, what? I never would have guessed that. That is not who I work with. That is not who I saw at the bar on Friday night. See, I am not condemning you. But what I'm suggesting is maybe that's why you feel anxious in your life. You know, maybe like David, you just need to go to God and say, search me, oh God. Know my heart. You know, help my life to align with yours, Lord. Some of you, if you do that, if you just drop the mask, get real with God, you would watch your cortisol levels. They would just drop. Search me, oh God. You can see beneath the surface of who I am. You know, you can see beneath the surface of the situation. I'm anxious, God. I'm anxious because of my finances. I'm anxious because of my health. I'm anxious because of my parents. I'm anxious because of that job. No, 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 no. They may trigger the anxiety, but here's the truth. God's word enables us to transcend this. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying. And he writes a similar beat here in Philippians. He says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Search me, God. Search me. Any situation, any problem, any struggle, whatever it is that you're anxious about, search me, God, and know my heart. See, sometimes you can reduce the anxiety by changing your focus from wondering, what are people thinking about me? What are they thinking about me? To realizing they're not thinking about you. You know, from worrying, why didn't they say hi to me? They didn't say hi to me. Why didn't they say hi to me? To, why didn't I speak to them? This will shock some of you. Everything's not about you. It's not. If you think it is, you will live in a constant state of anxiety in your life. When you step from the center and you start focusing on other people and other things, that weight will drop off of you. The weight of worry. You know, worrying about how am I coming off? What are people thinking? How am I being perceived? What am I getting? What am I not getting? Quit. Stop. When you get out of the middle of it, when you get over yourself and you start seeing things from God's perspective, it changes things. Hear the beat here. Search me, God. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. You know, search me, God. I mean, am I being anxious because I'm not focused on you? Most of the things we worry about, that we get anxious about, they're just created. Imagination. Most of the time, they're not even real. Some of you need to reclaim your imagination. It is one of the most beautiful and most valuable assets that you have. This is sacred space, friends. It's where you can be creative. It's where you can take risks. It's where you can dream. It is a gift from God. But friends, when it becomes a place of anticipated horror, it becomes a prison. It becomes a place of stress and fear. And friends, I will tell you, the enemy wants to defeat you. His plan, isolate you. He wants to use your mind to steal your future and destroy you. Instead of dreaming great dreams, worry, fret, fear. The enemy wants to fill your mind with anxious thoughts. Why would he do that? Well, so he can crowd out hope. He can crowd out God. And guess what? When that happens, you can't worship, you can't dream, because you're so worried and you keep turning it over and over and over and over. And let me suggest that we don't turn this stuff over and allow it to turn us to stone, but we turn to God in our lives. Some of you desperately need to reclaim your imagination. That's why Paul writes this. He says, cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, what's true, what's noble, what's right, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ so that it aligns with what God would have us believe and know. God will free you. You can dream again. You can have hope again. Some of you just need to say to the evil one, you just need to say, get your hands off of God's property. This is my imagination. God gave me this. It's been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am going to dream again. Get out of my way. See, the good news is, and this is good news, if you're really good at worrying, you'll be great at worship. You know why? Because it's the same things that are required, the same imagination, the same mind, and the same heart. It's just taking you a different way. You know, tomorrow when you get up, instead of checking the fear cast in your life, thinking about everything that could go wrong, how bad it's going to be, you check the faith cast. You expect the goodness of God in your life. You expect God to work in your life. Be a faith caster in your life, just like David was. David says, if I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will what? Guide me. And your strength will support me. See, because God's watching over you, because you didn't check the fear cast, because you did check the faith cast, because God has been good to you, so good to you that you can't stay anxious in your life. See, David writes the beat. This is one of my favorite beats. This is like a life verse for me. He says, for it was you who formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David understood that God was with him. David understood that God had been with him since his conception. Every stage of life, God was with him. Every situation, God was with him. Every beat in his life, God was with him. Every heartbeat, that first heartbeat, God was there. And he says, God, I want you to search me through and through. I want you to show me what's making me anxious, so I do not spend the rest of my life waiting for my enemies to disappear, waiting for everything to be good, waiting for it all to be worked out. Before I can experience peace. Friends, you just have to move toward peace. And the way you do that, you just say, God, search me. Help me sort it out. Help me break the cycle. Help me stop this stuff. So let's stand. We're going to pray together. Search me, oh God. God, your people, we cry out and say, search me. Help me see what's making me anxious. It's not the stuff out there. It's what's going on inside. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just whisper and show us what it is, what we're listening to that we shouldn't, what we need to run away from, break free from. God, I know there are some here today that they need to reclaim their hearts and their minds. God, by the power of Jesus Christ, we claim that today. God, I pray you'd clear it out. And that your Spirit would breathe strength and courage. No matter what the situation is. No matter what's happening out there, God, that you would give them peace inside. The world can be falling apart, but we can have peace. And God, I pray that you would just shower that on these individuals this week. God, we lay our lives before you, our minds, our hearts. This morning we say, search us, Lord. Know our hearts. Help us understand what it is that needs to go and what needs to stay. And we give you the glory and the praise this day and every day. And God's people said, amen. Let's worship together.